Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be talking a little bit about Hull, who won 3-0 at Fulham last weekend. Yet again, Jarrod Bowen, the star of the show. Can we kind of praise him any more than we are doing? We'll also talk about Sheffield Wednesday. Things are going well under Gary Monk, but a bit of a speed bump for Wednesday after losing at Blackburn last weekend. We'll also be looking at a manager spotlight. Who are those impressing? Who are underperforming? And also looking at some of the new managers in place over the last few weeks. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Championship Fan Show. So, plenty to talk about. That number again, 0208 70 20 558. If you want to share your views, the Championship Fan Show is here for all fans of all of the 24 Championship clubs. Plenty to be talking about every single weekday afternoon between 2 and 3 o'clock this hour is all for you. And you can make as much or as little as you want. But make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Let's talk about the managers. Always a very, very good talking point in any league, no matter whether it's the Premier League or the National League South. It does not matter which league it is, but there's always talk about managers. And it kind of led me to think about the managers that are impressing, those that are underperforming and under pressure, and those also that have kind of recently taken up jobs. So let's start with those that are impressing. And obviously it is easy just to simply look to the top of the table, but they're not all necessarily at the top, but one club that are right near the top are Preston and Alex Neil. You remember a few years ago when he was at Norwich, and a lot of people questioning whether he was a particularly good manager, and not many people rated him. And I think what it shows is that your reputation can very much be repaired. It might take a little bit of time, but you can turn things around, and suddenly Alex Neil is one of the most highly rated managers in the Championship. Just this year alone, he rejected overtures from West Brom towards the end of last season, when Darren Moore was, I mean, it's still to this day flabbergasting how he was sacked with West Brom in fourth, and they didn't end up getting promoted. He was approached then and turned down those approaches. He's been approached in the last week by Stoke. It would seem rather strange that the club in second, the manager would leave to go to the side sat bottom of the Championship, but anyway, they still approached them, and he didn't want to go there either. So it shows he's committed to the cause now. It'd be a really interesting question if he was approached by a Premier League club. That maybe would change things. But he has done a great job at Preston. Not necessarily the biggest budget, but and not necessarily one of the most fancied sides, but he's doing a good, good job there. 15 games in, 28 points, just a couple of points off the top. It is very close in the Championship, but there's no doubt of the job that Alex Neil is doing. One of the surprise packages for me this season has been Sabri Lamouchi at Nottingham Forest. A lot of Forest fans wouldn't have necessarily known a huge amount about him. They would have perhaps known about him during his playing days, but not necessarily as a manager. And I was going to say, actually, that it's not easy for managers coming into a league like the Championship, considering how competitive, how tough it is to get out of in a positive sense, that it isn't easy for a man that doesn't necessarily know a huge amount about the Championship, that's never managed in the Championship, to potentially do a very good job. However, what I would caveat, remember last week when we were having a discussion about what it takes to get promoted from the Championship into the Premier League, you don't necessarily need a manager full of Championship experience. last season, Norwich and Daniel Farker proved that he had no previous experience of the Championship before going to Norwich, and it took him a little bit of time, a little bit of patience was required, but is now currently plying his trade in the Premier League with Norwich. So it shows and highlights that you don't necessarily need to have an abundance of Championship experience. You don't need to go to the same old people that have been in the Championship for decades. You can go for someone slightly different. Obviously, you still need to be meticulous in your analysis of managers, but Sabri Lamouchi at Forest has proven that you don't necessarily need to have a vast amount of experience at this level and in the Championship. You saw Forest a year ago, roughly, trying to replicate a little bit of what Wolves had done, trying to spend money on foreign players, in particular from Portugal, trying to replicate what they had done to get into the Premier League. They obviously went back to a club legend in Martin O'Neill last season, and that didn't necessarily work out in the way that they would have all wanted it to. But they've gone to Sabri Lamouchi, and currently Forest off fifth place. They also have a game in hand. They're on 25 points, so in theory, that game that they had postponed against Reading, if they were to win that, they would potentially go up 2 seconds. So a very good start for Forest. They did lose back-to-back games against Wigan and Hull, which would have been very disappointing for Forest fans. But still a good start to life for Sabri Lamouchi at Forest. And the final man I wanted to mention was Lee Bowyer at Charlton. They are currently 10th place on 22 points, just 3 points off the top six. And quite significantly, 10 points above the relegation zone. I know there's a lot of places between them, but there are quite a lot of points as well. Well documented, and we're not going to go into too much depth about Roland du Châtelet and kind of the constraints, let's just say, that Lee Bowyer is under at Charlton, that they had to sell a few players over the summer for not necessarily a huge amount of money. You think of Joe Rebo, for example, that went to Rangers. That went for a free transfer, and because it was to a different country, they got hardly any compensation. It was a matter of about 400,000, whereas it would have been kind of multi-millions if it had been to another English club. And Charlton over the years have produced a number of good young English players. You think of Joe Gomez, you think of Ademola Lookman. So plenty of young players that have come through this Charlton academy. And for Lee Bowyer to do what he's doing, and also factor in the fact they've been without their star striker, Lyle Taylor, for a large parts of this season. The way that the likes of Conor Gallagher and Macaulay Bonn have stepped up in his absence, Charlton are doing a really, really good job. Coming up into the Championship isn't easy, but they have done a solid job, and they are in a solid position at the moment. And obviously, there's no denying that in theory, Charlton could go on a bad run, and in 5-6 weeks time they could be drifting towards the relegation zone, but at the same time, conversely, a couple of wins and suddenly they're right in the picture for top six. I don't think any side really, probably down to sort of 17th, 18th, can really count out an opportunity of a playoff spot. That's how the Championship has gone this season, perhaps down to a lack of quality this season, but so many teams in there. And Charlton, you'd imagine it's very unlikely they will get promoted, but the way they've started, they've given themselves a buffer as well. They can play with a sense of freedom going forward rather than having to look over their backs at the prospects of relegation. So Lee Bowyer is the third member or the third manager that perhaps I would like to highlight as to who's done a very good job. In terms of the under-pressure managers, the men that are not doing a great job, there was one name the most definitely sprung to mind that is still in a job, and I go with Jonathan Woodgate at Middlesbrough. Obviously a new manager, not experienced being a full-time manager in the Championship before, of course, followed the trend of lots of other former England players that have gone into management, and some have had more success than others. You think of Steven Gerrard at Rangers and then Frank Lampard, Derby to Chelsea. Sol Campbell's taken a job at Southend, having kept Macclesfield up last season. For others, it hasn't worked out so well, like Paul Scholes at Oldham. But Jonathan Woodgate going in at his boyhood club, obviously a club where he is a legend. He is much revered at that club. They currently sit in the relegation zone, 15 games in, 12 points. Obviously, Tony Pulis was there and they weren't happy with the style of play, and not happy also that they didn't get promoted. If you're not going to play particularly well, you still want to be getting wins, if that is the case. We've spoken to a number of Middlesbrough guests over the last few weeks and months, and they've said that the fans and the board will remain patient with Jonathan Woodgate at Borough. I don't think if once we get to Christmas time, if Middlesbrough is still in the same situation, I don't think that patience is going to continue. That may be awful and that may be quite short-termism, but for Middlesbrough, it would be a rather devastating blow if they were to get relegated into League One. So at some point, I think they might pull the trigger, and they need to get some wins now, because they've lost three of their last five and drawn the other two. So they're in a pretty horrendous run of form at the moment. They've only scored 11 goals all season so far in 15. They're not even averaging a goal a game at the moment. Conceded 19. So not necessarily the worst defensive record in the league this season, but they are certainly under pressure. So he is the man really under pressure, because a lot of the other clubs around there have changed managers. And that brings us on to the next one, which is obviously the new manager look. Near the top, we've got someone like Gary Monk at Sheffield Wednesday. Obviously, after Steve Bruce left over the summer, they obviously had a temporary man in charge. Gary Monk then took over a couple of months into the season and has done a very good job, even though they had a slight speed bump last weekend away at Blackburn. We'll be talking about Sheffield Wednesday a little bit more to come in the hour. But Gary Monk's done a really good job, and they're currently sat seventh, just 1 point off the top six. So he's doing a good job at the moment. They lost the last game, but were on a decent unbeaten run under Gary Monk. The others out there, Danny Cowley at Huddersfield, they're starting to get some momentum. They're unbeaten in seven games. And now Carlin Grant in terrific form, although he's been today linked with a move to Bournemouth and Wolves in the Premier League. But Cowley doing a good job. He's now taken Huddersfield up to 18th on 16 points. They're now four clear of the relegation zone. They've won three, drawn two of their last five games. Certainly in good form and looking good to push their way away from the relegation zone. Gary Rowett has recently come in at Millwall. Bit of a surprise that Neil Harris resigned just before the Leeds game a number of weeks ago, just before the international break, I think it was. And Gary Rowett has gone in there. He won his first game against one of his former clubs, Stoke. They did lose on the weekend, but still, obviously, it's early days for Gary Rowett. But Mark Bowen, who was met with a lot of negativity when he was appointed as the manager, having been the sporting director over the last 6 months, has made an unbeaten start. Two wins and a draw. There was a postponed game in there as well. But he's made a good start to life at Reading, and they've pushed away from the relegation zone after back-to-back losses before Bowen was appointed. Two wins and a draw means they are in solid form at the moment. And interestingly, no new manager at Barnsley yet, who are sat second from bottom. They've been without Daniel Stendel for quite a while, so no new man in there. Still waiting to see who will be the man to replace Stendel. And also at Stoke, having recently sacked Nathan Jones. Could it be someone like Chris Hughton? Could Tony Pulis be returning to the Bet365? So they're on the lookout, obviously, bottom of the table. Stoke now 6 points away from safety, so they do need to... Obviously, you don't want to rush things, and obviously they've got an international break coming up, so I think they will probably wait. I can't imagine we'll hear an announcement of a new manager this week, but potentially next week is the time when we'll find out who might be taking over at Stoke. So still a few clubs looking for a new manager. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, share your views on who the outstanding manager has been so far, which managers are impressing, who's under pressure, and who might go in at some of those clubs that are still on the lookout for a new manager. Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to talk a little bit about Sheffield Wednesday later in the hour, but up next, we'll be talking all things Hull.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in touch with us this afternoon. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking all things Hull now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Jonty Coleman from Hull Live and the Hull Daily Mail. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jonty. You must have been absolutely delighted on the weekend. A 3-0 away win at Fulham, not just in terms of the result, but how happy were you with the performance as well?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back on. It was a shocking result, really. I mean, you know, I think the last few games have really, I don't think many people expected 9 points from nine in the games against Nottingham Forest, Derby and Fulham. But, you know, fair play to Hull City. They've been excellent in that time and they've been fully deserving of those. Fulham, for me in particular, was an impressive one. I think out of those three sides, that seemed the least likely of the three where they go and get a win. And they executed the game plan perfectly. You know, they sat back, they just made things really uncomfortable for Fulham. They had 75% of the match possession, but, you know, they didn't really do an awful lot with it. Whereas when City got the ball, they just They knew exactly where to attack them. Jared Bowen on the counter attack and Cameron Kosicki as well. You know, they just got into the right pockets of space and made life really difficult for Fulham's back line, to be honest. And they definitely deserving of a win.
Looking at some of the comments that manager Grant McCann made after the game, he said, "It's a good result for us. We've come to one of the best teams in the league and controlled the game. We did our job to a man. Defensively, we were outstanding." Is this type of a result, Hull have obviously been on a good run over the last few games, but this type of result against the side of the quality of Fulham away from home, is this the type of performance and result that makes you think Hull can actually really kick on? And at the moment, they're only 3 points off the top six at the moment.
I think that kind of summarises the best, just how tight the championship really is. Yeah, I think there's a fair point to be made where at least two-thirds of that league could well finish in the top six. I think, you know, the amount of times you say it every season in the championship, and this year is definitely no different. And it's amazing what a bit of form and a few wins on the bounce can do for you. And especially, I think at the start of that run, obviously they played QPR before, and it was a disappointing result there. And then to come back from that and win at Nottingham Forest, that was a surprise. And you thought, oh, okay, it's just one of those results. Then they win at Derby. Form continues to build. I mean, you head to Fulham and not only win, but win convincingly, really. I mean, that, you know, the stats may show that Fulham had, you know, most of the ball and tried to do a lot more going forward, but, you know, it's pointless having all the match possession if you're never going to do anything with it. And I think Hull City have, that's been their strong point this season. I mean, if you look at possession percentage to goals, if there's some sort of, you know, comparison, they don't dominate many games, but they score a lot of goals. It just shows that they are capable of, you know, just taking their chances. But the thing is, at the start of the season, you could argue that wasn't the case. They weren't taking enough of their chances. I think that's been the big improvement for them. In the last two games, they haven't started a recognised striker yet. They've scored five goals against Derby and Fulham. One side was in the playoff final and one side was in the Premier League last year. So you know, you can't rule out the prospect of Hull City just maybe getting a top six spot. I mean, it won't be easy, definitely not, because of, you know, how hard it is to maintain form and the amount of teams going for it. But again, it's possible.
You mentioned there, Jonty, about the fact that Hull in the last couple of games has started without a recognised striker. Does that demonstrate the tactical flexibility of the manager, Grant McCann, that he identifies games that, for example, on Saturday, they knew they weren't going to have a lot of possession, that Fulham were going to dominate the ball, but it was a case of being able to counter-attack quickly, and therefore the selection he went with, obviously it's easy to say now in hindsight with Hull having won 3-0, but did the last few games show a tactical flexibility and an adaptability about this Hull side?
I think it all stems back to the game at Nottingham Forest. Many were, you know, shocked when the team came out. McCann made four changes. And for the first time of the season, he'd switched it in a league match. He'd switched from a 4-3-3 to a 4-2-3-1. He dropped Kevin Stewart, who arguably had been their most consistent player at the start of the season. And that was a big surprise for me. And many others, you know, thought that is one of the first names of the team sheet, the way that 4-3-3 was set up. It was almost based around him in the holding midfield role. So it was a big call from there, and it worked. I mean, Josh McGinnis led the line that night. He got sent off towards the end after, you know, finally getting a bit of form for City. And the two games since against Derby and Fulham, McCann's, he's had Tom Ease on, you know, available to him, but, you know, he's just not used him. He's gone to play Jared Bowen as almost like a false nine. It's let him bring in Josh Bolger for two starts. And it's just been more fluid in that front three. There's more pace there. And, you know, they can be a bit more expansive just because they haven't got, you know, that recognised striker. And I think it's opening up certain spaces that perhaps they weren't doing at times. And clearly it's reaping the rewards at the minute.
Another goal on the weekend for Jared Bowen. He's now up to 10 goals this season so far. It seems like every time we speak, Jonty, we always have to mention Jared Bowen. Just how special a player he is and how much do I suppose Hull fans need to appreciate him? Because without wanting to kind of offend Hull fans, he's not going to be there potentially for that much longer, because if he continues to play like this, Premier League clubs will have to come in for him in January or the summer transfer window.
I think it's a case of, it's felt like a case of when rather than if. I think especially, you know, now that his contract is getting nearer and nearer to its end, many expected him to get in the summer. Obviously, he couldn't do that. Nearly went to the start of the year as well. So, but his goal record just speaks for itself. Even in games where he can have like a bad game and still, you know, just be there, get that goal. And it's amazing, you know, the goal scoring record he has built up for himself in the right wing. You know, not many players in the league or in many leagues, you know, wide players can match that sort of goal return, really. I think Saturday was his 10th in all competitions. That was the quickest that any player has done it for City, reached double figures in 15 years. And, you know, bear in mind the start they had, it was really inconsistent until the last few games. Bowen's form's picked up, that's 5-4 for him now. And yeah, he is, you know, that star asset. I mean, City have got some decent players, but Bowen's the one that everyone talks about. Bowen's the one you always see the speculation about. And Bowen's the one that's the most likely to join a Premier League club anytime soon.
Looking ahead then to Hull's next game, as I said, they've been in good form. Three championship wins on the trot, third away triumph in four for Hull. It's a home game against table toppers West Brom this coming weekend before the international break. How tough a game is this? Or do you think the fact that Hull have got some momentum, and even against the side of the quality of West Brom, that the whole fans, whole players will be confident of getting something from this game?
I think that's the weird thing about these last couple of games, is that it's kind of felt almost like a step up in the past few opponents. I mean, Nottingham Forest, that was a step up compared to, you know, what a lot of teams have played, and City were dreadful for going into that one, falling back to that beat to Huddersfield and QPR, and then they go and win at Forest, and then against Derby, you know, team in the playoff final last year, they go and beat them. And then Fulham, you know, they're in the Premier League, many tip them to, you know, pretty much be a guaranteed cert to go up, and they go and get that win there. So When you get three wins against three teams like that, it's hard to sort of ignore their credentials. I mean, I still think it'll be really tough for them to get a top six place. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a definite, you know, remotely here. But when you're beating teams like that consecutively, it's hard to ignore them. And the way they're playing and the confidence they have, you know, you'd fancy them against whatever team that got put in front of them. I think it's easy in hindsight to say West Brom are league leaders, you know, they are, I think, you know, from afar, they're the one team that I've sort of seen glimpses of this season and thought, yeah, do you know what, I think they've got a really good chance of going up this year. They've won to convince me the most. However, that doesn't mean to say that their 3 points have wrapped up for the weekend. I think it'll be a tough test for both sides, really, and whilst it could be the toughest City of facial season, at the same time, West Brom go to a K-Com, fully knowing that City are full of confidence and on the counter, which is, you know, often City's best form of attacking. That's where their biggest assets lie.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Jonty. That was Jonty Coleman from Hull Live and the Hull Daily Mail. A very impressive result, a shocking result, actually, for Hull at the weekend when they won 3-0 away at Fulham. It is just a case in point of how nutty the Championship really is, that you can never predict what's going to happen next. Hull winning at Fulham and Huddersfield winning away at Brentford as well. Things are rather strange in the Championship, and just when you think you might be able to predict something, it is very much not the case. But Jarrod Bowen yet again, and Jonty, I think, is a realistic Hull fan. He said when rather than if Jarrod Bowen leaves. I think they realise maybe for Hull, they feel perhaps a bit fortunate they still have him. I'm very surprised that over the summer, more teams didn't put forward a concrete interest. I think there were Premier League teams interested in his services, but didn't really pursue it any further than that. I think it's one of those weird situations where, obviously, if you're a Hull fan, you want Jarrod Bowen to do well, and you want him to keep performing and for Hull to win games. At the same time, it's that weird situation where if he does too well, then that will accelerate interest. It will kind of act as a catalyst for Premier League interest to come in January. So I think Hull will probably say to Jarrod Bowen and probably say to Premier League clubs that they're not going to sell him in January, but they're probably resigned to the fact, accept the fact that he's going to leave next summer. I think it would probably be foolish to sell Bowen unless they got blown out of the water with a phenomenal offer in January. I think it makes a lot of sense to say to Jarrod Bowen, keep performing, keep playing well, keep producing performances for us week in, week out, and you, if we don't get to the Premier League, you will earn that move. And I think that's fair on all sides, because Hull have perhaps got a little bit more service out of Bowen than they expected, and also he gets to continue playing for Hull where he breaks through, and then potentially gets that move if Hull don't make their way into the Premier League. But another good game for him, and that game on Saturday, they're at home against West Brom, the final game before the international break, and you would think West Brom will win this because they're at the top of the table. They're 2 points clear, and they've only lost one game all season. But as we say that, Hull will probably get another win. They're in good form at the moment. You look at their form, 3 wins on the bounce. They'll probably go and win. That's just the nature of the Championship. It is ridiculous this season, and just as we think something might happen, the complete opposite goes on. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. But up next, we'll be continuing to talk about the Championship, and we'll be talking all things Sheffield Wednesday.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Back to the Championship then, and to talk all things Sheffield Wednesday, I'm delighted to say we are joined by Alex Miller, Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star. A lot of Sheffields in there. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Alex. It's been a good start to life under Gary Monk, but it did hit a speed bump, 2-1 loss away at Blackburn. But the manner of it must have frustrated Gary Monk. They scored a late goal themselves, Sheffield Wednesday, but 2 very late goals meant that Wednesday didn't even come away with a game from anything. Is that what will gripe Gary Monk?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, absolutely. As you said, the manner of it was frankly ridiculous, really. If you look at what Gary Monk has achieved in his short time at Sheffield Wednesday, everything's been about being mentally tough and making sure that you see games out. Being very strong at the back. And for the last 5 minutes of that game at Blackburn, we saw the complete opposite. 3 rewrites for us in the press box. It was frantic the last few minutes with Wednesday scoring in, I think, the 83rd minute, and then obviously Blackburn pinning those 2 goals back. But yeah, just a complete lapse in concentration from the Wednesday defence. Monk and the players speaking to us, and the last few days have been, completely honest about that. It was a lapse in concentration. They've held their hands up and taken responsibility for it. And they'll hope that it won't be something that's seen again from an owl side.
Well, I was going to ask about that, Alex. Obviously, in the moment and the emotion of it, the days and the hours after it, you wonder how on earth you lost that game. The concentration, he said, direct quote from him, there was a lack of concentration in that 5 minutes and a couple of individual mistakes where we got punished as heavily as you can get punished. Do you think that he won't be too concerned by it because it was just a one-off, and that he won't be getting too het up about it? Or do you think he'll be wary of the fact that this sometimes can kind of come into your game? If it happens once, it can start to happen 2-3 times, and that's something Gary Monk will want to quash as quickly as possible.
I think so, and when I say it's uncharacteristic, there are examples, a handful of examples in Monk's reign already of this happening. The game at Hull feels like an age ago, but it was the third last away game that they've had. They've conceded a goal with about 15 minutes to go. And then, of course, that controversial goal at Cardiff as well, which, really should have been offside, and whether it was a free kick in the place. But Lee Tomlin's equaliser in the 87th minute down there, what would have been a very good win for Wednesday on the road at Cardiff. So, yeah, I mean, it is sort of creeping in. Knowing, Monk's methods a little bit and the way that he speaks and sort of the glimpses that we in the media get covering Wednesday, he is absolutely meticulous. So this is something, as you say, we'll want to stamp out. And to be honest, they've got a very experienced squad at Wednesday. It's a surprise this has happened a couple of times, and they'll be absolutely desperate to make sure it doesn't, as you say, creep in more and more.
Apart from that result, in general, it's been a really good start to life at Sheffield Wednesday for Gary Monk. It felt like Sheffield Wednesday were pretty happy with that kind of coup, that it was a significant statement sent out to be able to attract someone like Gary Monk. I'm assuming that all fans at Hillsborough are pretty delighted with how things are going. With the matter of the Championship table, Wednesday are just 1 point and one place off the top six. I'm guessing the feeling generally at the moment, despite the disappointment on the weekend, is that things are looking pretty bright and positive going forward.
Yeah, I think so. The expectation at clubs like Wednesday, it's been a long time since they've been in the Premier League, but that expectation of challenging for a place in the top tier will always be there. And that's something that Monk and the players haven't sort of shied away from. The two playoff campaigns with Carlos Carvalho, it doesn't feel that long ago, and a lot of the players from those campaigns are still at the club. There's no secret about the fact that the ambition this season is to challenge and get into that top six and see where that can take them. At current, they're set out just outside it. But yeah, I think there is a relatively positive feeling. As you say, the manner of that defeat has left a bit of a sour taste, and I think it leads into this Saturday in Swansea City. It's a massive, massive game that, because leading into the international break where feelings can sort of fester for 10 days or whatever it is, you know, if they can go into in the playoff paces, which a win or perhaps a draw might take them, you know, I think the feel around the club and the look of that league table will be a lot different to if they hang around in seventh or perhaps even lower.
Before we look ahead to that game on the weekend against Swansea, what is the aim at this moment in time for Sheffield Wednesday? We were just talking to a Hull guest just a few moments before you came on, Alex, and saying that potentially two-thirds of the Championship might have an ambition at the moment of getting into the top six, considering how tight and congested it is. Is the realistic and kind of the main aim, a bare minimum, is getting into that top six, or is that more of a optimistic hoping that you get in there rather than a genuine belief that you should be in there?
It's certainly within the grasp. I think there's a lot of things that need to go right for Wednesday over the next few months for them to be able to do so. But, you know, the club, as I say, have been completely explicit about the fact that that is the target, that top six is where they want to be, it's where a club of that size should be. And, you know, eventually getting a look at getting into that Premier League. But, you know, a lot of things need to go right. I think they need to score more goals. If you look at the success that they've had over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of sort of 1-0s and 0-0s, and you know, the defence is obviously the foundation of the majority of good teams in the Championship and teams that do, you know, end up going on to challenge for promotion. But there is a bit of a reliance on Stephen Fletcher. His goals have dried up of late. He's been unlucky. He's hit the crossbar in the last two games and forced a couple of good saves. But him aside, there's a question mark about where the goals are coming from and when they're going to have to score more goals and you know, I've last experiences like that of the last few minutes at Blackburn to put this together. There's also the fact that they haven't actually beaten a team in the top half of the division yet. The fixture card at the moment has been quite kind to them. You know, the opening matches, you look at some of the run that they've been on, some of the games that they have won, and they are sort of the lesser lights of the Championship. And so, yeah, at some point they're going to have to start beating teams around them. They've got Swansea and then West Brom in the next couple of matches. And so, yeah, I think that'll be the acid test. We'll know a lot more about this Swansea team in maybe a month's time or so.
And just finally then, Alex, up next is Swansea at home on the weekend, the final game before the international break. Sheffield Wednesday know that potentially they could end up in the top six spots by the end of the weekend if they win. How important is it that you mentioned there Sheffield Wednesday haven't beaten a side in the top half or in the upper echelons of the Championship? How important is it to do that and also win to take confidence into the international break?
Yeah, I mean, it's far too early to call it, you know, season defining or anything like that, or a game that perhaps, you know, plays a massive, massive part in you know, what is hopefully a playoff push. But I think, you know, as I said before, the feel of the club and the direction that the season is going in, a win against Swansea to get that monkey off the back in beating, you know, a team that is doing well in the division and, you know, settling into that playoff berth with the international coming break, it could be massive. Just for the feeling around the club, the players and the fan base as well. The fan base are very vocal, as you'd expect, with the club of Sheffield Wednesday size and prestige and history, and you know, it's important to have them on side as Monk's reign goes on.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Alex. That was Alex Miller, a Sheffield Wednesday writer for the Sheffield Star, even with that slight hiccup, I suppose, against Blackburn last weekend. It was a very strange end to that game with Jacob Murphy giving Sheffield Wednesday the lead just past the 80-minute mark. And then they ended up losing with two late goals. Manchester City loanee Toisin Adarabioyo scored one of those two goals for Blackburn. But still a good start to life as the Sheffield Wednesday manager for Gary Monk. But a big test on the weekend at home against Swansea. And as Alex mentioned, they're without a win against a side right near the top of the Championship. So a big opportunity to make a significant statement before we head into the international break. Love Sport.